Well, friends, I just want to invite you. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray, O Lord, that you will purify our hearts tonight, Lord, that they may be worthy to become your dwelling place. May we never fail to remind or to find room, Lord God, for you. But Lord, we ask that we pray that you would please come, abide in us, that we also may abide in you. You were born in the world for us, and you, Jesus, you live and reign. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Amen indeed. That was priceless right there. I don't know about you. So let's just get this out of the way right away, okay? All you Vikings fans, it's a rough one for you this Christmas. I get it. 30-24, right? Yep. Sorry, spoiler. Should have said that first. And then of all things, the Packers win on the same day too as well, right? Yep. Praying for you a little extra hard this Christmas here. So, hey, I don't know if you've ever heard the story of the two husband and wife. They were in their 60s. And they were outside on a nice warm December day working outside in their yard, and they came across this lamp, or excuse me, they came across this bottle, and this bottle had a cork in it, and they did what all people would do, they popped the cork. And out comes this genie. Of all things, the genie comes out, and the couple was just amazed because they've heard about this in jokes and in stories, but they never thought that they would ever see something like this ever before. And sure enough, this genie comes out and asks them, hey, I'm going to give you each one early Christmas wish. Whatever you ask, I will do it. And the wife kind of thought about it for a little bit, and she said, you know, we've been in this little house here ever since we've been married for 3.5 decades. And she goes, I would really, really love to live in a mansion. And the genie said, no problem. Your wish is my command. And poof, just like that, this beautiful home, immaculate, more than enough room. It was beautiful. The landscaping was fantastic. It was the whole nine yards. She just absolutely loved it. And she just said, this is the greatest gift I've ever received. And then the genie went to the husband and said, okay, well, what do you want? And he kind of was a little hesitant right away. And he kind of stared at his wife. Then he looked back at the genie and he said, you know, I don't think you can do what I'm about to ask you to do. And the genie said, no, just you ask me anything and I'll take care of it. And so the man said, he noticed that his wife was a little distance away from him in that moment. He said, well, genie, I'd always wanted to be married to a woman who was 30 years younger than me. Yeah, right? And the genie said, your wish is my command. And poof, he was 90 years old. Just like that. Some of you might need the person next to you to explain that to you on the way home tonight. But today, we're not here to talk about genies. We're not here to talk about genies. We're here to talk about the gift of God, the one and only Son, Jesus Christ. But for many, making the most of Christmas is simply some warm, fuzzy feeling, listening to carols in the mall that brings back that nostalgic feeling. For others, it's in our traditions, looking at the beautiful Christmas lights to the very food that we eat. And for the kids, it's all about Elf on the Shelf, Santa, and making Christmas lists. And when you think about this a little bit, perhaps, maybe, we've turned Christmas into this Christmas genie after all. And because of this, what ends up happening is you see people that just go through the motions of Christmas, and for a lot of people, they just cannot wait for Christmas to be over with. And then when you actually think about that, that causes us that when you actually hear the Christmas story about what this season is actually based upon, people just don't, they hear the stories about Christ's birth, and they just kind of pass on by it. And it really never resonates with any of them. And they just kind of go through the motions as another year and just a good old story that we share once a year. And that's the unfortunate thing. But I'm telling you, the good news that we have here today is that the Messiah has come. The King of Kings, Emmanuel, God is with us. Now for many, it may be just a story that we pass by and we don't give it much thought. But I want here today to us to understand of what it truly means for all of us and how this story never gets old. In fact, it draws us in every single year. Throughout Advent, for the past few weeks, we've been doing a sermon series here at Aldersgate called Behold the King. And we've been looking at the kings of Israel. The first three kings were King Saul, and then they were King David, and then King Solomon. And today we're looking at the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, and how each one of these kings had an impact. But as we continue and come into this series, Behold the King of Kings, in Luke's account, Luke 2, it's the angel's announcement to the shepherds that I want us to look and focus on here this evening. And it's just here in verse 10, it says, "But the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the town of David, in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, Christ the Lord.'" Now, I want us to focus just briefly on that word, behold. If you're following along in your Bible, sometimes you'll find some translations, they leave that word out, behold. But actually, in the original Greek, there is a word there that's associated with the word behold. And when you read it in the Greek, it really means this idea of, you know, do not be fearing, but be perceiving. The angel's saying, be perceiving, for I'm sharing the gospel with you. This is what the angel was saying to the shepherds. Behold, the Savior is born. The one that you've been longing for, that you're in darkness and you've been praying for, that he is here. He has finally come. This is the Savior you've been longing for. And there's no longer any reason for you to be afraid. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. What a message for all of us today too as well. And if you and I can just, for these moments, understand and just take and to grasp, to comprehend, to behold, to perceive what is the gospel message, that I promise you it will remove the fear that has dominated and darkened your life. To the degree when you truly behold, or you gaze at, or you grasp, or you relish in, you internalize, or to rejoice in the gospel message, I am telling you, the fears of your life will be undermined when you can wrap your mind and understand what that means when Jesus came and entered as God, though, the Word made flesh, the incarnation of Christ that we call this. What is this good news? What is it that the shepherds saw? The Savior has been born. Jesus has come. And that is great news for all of us. And if you want to rid the fear of your life, get over the fear of rejection, to get over the fear of failure, and be filled with the love of God, then if you want to be completely forgiven as well, you and I must come to this place where we can rest in Christ Jesus as our Savior and to trust in Him. The angel saying, you want relief from all your fear? Behold, look at Christmas. Look at what has come to pass. Look at what the Lord has done. And the true meaning of Christmas teaches us not just who God is, but it also teaches us who we are. This moment in time that actually split time, I don't know if you realize this or not, but every single document that you sign, every legal document is based off of this event. Did you know that? Your documents, your accounts, nothing is legal without a reference, statistical reference to this moment. And this moment is a moment when we must realize the immeasurable amount of love and grace that God pursued to write us back into His story, the story of God, where us who were once lost are now found, how we who were enslaved are now redeemed and set free, how we who were dead in sin are now restored to life everlasting. You see, if there was to be deliverance for humanity, for God's people, it must come from God's direct intervention, and intervene He did. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 7 that His name shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. Charles Spurgeon, it was around 1894, Charles Spurgeon preached on Christmas Eve, and he preached on Isaiah 7, and he spoke these words. He said this, "Oh, may God teach you the meaning of that name, Emmanuel. God with us, Emmanuel. It is wisdom's mystery, God with us. Sages look at it in wonder. Angels desire to see it. The plumb line of reason cannot reach halfway into its depths. The eagle's wings of science cannot fly so high, and the piercing eye of the vulture of research cannot see it. Emmanuel, God with us. It is the sufferer's comfort, the balm of his woes. It is the alleviation of his misery. It is the sleep that God gives to his beloved. It is the rest after exertion and toil. Emmanuel, God with us. It is eternity's sonnet. It is heaven's hallelujah. It is the shout of the glorified. It is the song of the redeemed. It is the chorus of angels. And it is the everlasting oratorio of the great orchestra of the sky. Emmanuel, God with us. And my prayer is that you will grab a hold of what that name means for you, and it means for me, and it means for all people. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is indeed the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the everlasting Father. He is Emmanuel. He is the King of Kings. He is God with us. And that changes everything. And make no mistake about it, friends, you and I, we have sinned against God. We have sinned against him, and the only one that can redeem us is Jesus. And you have a God who loves you desperately. No other God. Martin Luther said this, "No other God have I but thee, born in a manger, but died on a tree." Jesus came to save us from our sins and to restore to us to the Father. And he left eternity and he entered time for you and for me to redeem us. Friends, I absolutely love Christmas. I love this moment. I love this time with all of you. I love seeing your faces. I love knowing that in a little bit, we're going to be all singing Silent Night with those candles lit. And it's a moment that we have with our family. Some of you are here specifically for that reason too as well. And I absolutely love it. It's so fun. But the Christmas story never gets old. Every single time we hear it, every single time we read it, there's something about it that just draws us closer to it, that resonates with us. And have you ever stopped to think of as why? Why it is? I was reminded of this just a few days ago, just actually in the last couple of weeks, and it happened on two occasions. I was serving communion at a couple of nursing homes here in town. And as we go through this, we were singing some, during this time of year, we were singing some of the Christmas hymns. And before we came time for Holy Communion, I thought it would probably be fitting for me just to read the Gospel of Luke, from Luke chapter 2, and the story of Christ's birth. And so I began to read the words. And as I continued to read the words, I came to this moment. And I read from Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And I said, "But the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people.'" As I read those words, friends, I cannot tell you and express to you enough that you could visibly see the posture in each of those hearers, those old souls, begin to change. I saw tired eyes beginning to open and widen, as if they were beholding the beauty of a hope that was restored in them. I saw frailed hands begin to lift and to clasp, as if they were just reaching and grabbing a hold of the hope that was offered to them in hearing the words of this gospel truth of old. I saw the countenance on their face begin to light up as I read those words, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Right after our time, as we closed, we began to sing again. And I looked over and I witnessed this daughter sitting next to her aging mother who was struggling with dementia. And with her arms around her, staring off and listening to her mouth move as she sang so beautifully the words of Silent Night. Maybe it was out of tune for some, but I promise you, nothing in all the world sounded more beautiful. It was in that moment where you could visibly see the results of what takes place when the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed and spoken. It changes lives. Sometimes in our culture today, we pass by it and we don't even take notice of it. But yet every time we come to this moment and we share the story, we light the candles, there's something that pulls us in. And what pulls us in is the reminder, because it reminds us, this Christmas story, this Christmas truth reminds us that Jesus is Emmanuel. It reminds us that even in our frailty, in our brokenness, in our times of worry, in our times of sorrow, in our times of hopelessness, in our times when we are terrified and we are afraid, in our times when we feel lonely, when we feel rejected, when we feel forgotten, in those moments, we hear the gospel truth that the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not fear, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people." That is the reason why you and I, to this day, 2,000 years later, never get tired of this story, because it is a reminder that God hears our pain. And he stepped in to save you and me. I'm not sure where each one of you are at here this morning, or this evening. I don't know all of your stories. I don't know all of your lives. Some of you are celebrating great celebrations of joy. Others of you are walking through some of the darkest moments in your life. And anxiety and sleepless nights are robbing you of any type of joy. Some of you are grieving the loss of a loved one, and this is your first Christmas without your spouse. And it's different. And it hurts. I'm telling you, God knows your pain. He hears you. And some of you, you think that you are worthless, that there's no hope for you. I have some news for you. The creator of the entire universe, who we read in the Psalms, spoke and all the stars were created, that God, he knows your name. And you and I need to know that your tears and your dreams, they matter to him. The eternal God, who's beyond time and space, actually leans in when we draw near. And no matter your mistakes, no matter your sin, no matter how bad you have messed up, he offers us new mercies every single morning. And his grace is sufficient for you. Christmas reminds us and shows us that God knows. He knows what you're going through. And when you talk to him, the Lord understands your brokenness. However dark your life might be, fear not. For behold, says the angel, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people, and that includes you. And I pray that you will grab a hold of that this day. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, O Christ, the prophets, Lord, foretold of your coming. The poor, Lord, longed to see you. The heavens celebrated your birth. The apostles, the martyrs, and the faithful down through the ages, Lord, they repeated the songs of the angels. And your church, Lord, praises you in every human language, for she has seen your salvation. Heavenly Father, Lord God, you, Jesus, you humbled yourself and became a servant. And you raised us up to share in your glory. And we were in darkness. And you have given us light and strength, peace and joy. And I pray, Lord, that you lead us according to your loving will. Make us a people who follow you in holiness. Lord, speak to our hearts to this day. For those that are scared, where anxiety is robbing us of peace, draw near to those hearts and these souls today. And remind them, Lord God, that you've never left their side. Give us generous hearts to hear your word. And produce in us abundant fruit to the power of your Holy Spirit. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen.